Okay, so yesterday we saw that Tosfos on our daf on Sadi Tesim Adbeis prompts the question of how do we relate to the very common practice and the mandatory practice, the din of starting Shabbos early. How do we relate to that? What exactly is the goal and what exactly is the impact of starting Shabbos early? So is it that when we're told that we have to do this, which the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah derives from the Pasuk and Parshas Emor in the context of Yom Kippur, is that telling us that we actually have the power to start a Shabbos and Yontif early? It is fully that day once you begin it. Or should we say no, that you are abstaining from Malacha, let's say, you are kind of acting like it's Shabbos, but it's not really Shabbos. Shabbos only starts when it does. It's on its own schedule. You can't do anything about that. And Yantif also, even though we know that we do have some impact on Yantif, or historically we had some impact on Yantif through Kiddush HaChodesh, but still, it's nighttime when it's nighttime. Nothing you can do about that. So Tosefes is just about behavior. Tosefes is just about not doing Malacha, but it doesn't actually become Shabbos or Yantif. And therefore, while you're not allowed to do Malacha, but it doesn't necessarily allow you to perform the positive obligations of that day. So this was brought up on our Tosfos because the Mishnah sounds like, if we're going to read the language very precisely, it sounds like you can't start the Seder until it's dark. And Tosfos raises the question, well, Friday night I can have my meal when it's light outside if I bring in Shabbos early. And Tosfos has two approaches. One approach is, the second approach is that, no, surprise, you can't do that either, that Shabbos has to wait until it's actually dark too, which makes it sound like it's just something we do as a buffer zone. And the first answer is, no, there's a difference between general Shabbos and Yantif on the one hand and Pesach on the other hand, because Pesach has unique obligations which are tied into night, and at least it's Korban Pesach. Matzah seems to go with Korban Pesach. Tos doesn't talk about this, but the Dalet Kosos apparently also go with that whole package, and we'll say more about that. And therefore, all of these details of the Seder are going to require us to wait until dark. But otherwise, you're right, the regular Shabbos, the regular Yontif, you can begin early. So the question of what is Shabbos in its Tosefes form, and what is an Yontif in this Tosefes form, is the central issue that's prompted by this discussion, and we're going to try to get a little bit more insight and see how much this is kind of reverberated over the generations. It comes up all the time. It happens to be last night, I was just looking for totally different reasons, total coincidence, so to speak, in Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin's farm are beautiful. A lot to say about a lot of things, and he has an essay on Shabbos, which he's looking at for a totally different reason, and he happens to address this, and he says that in his mind, Tosefes is specifically and purely an instruction to the individual. It doesn't create any reality as far as Shabbos and Yantif is concerned, and he points to our Tosfos as second answer Tosfos as highlighting that fact, and he says that's also, if we look back to the Gemara that we mentioned yesterday, we had a chance to see by now the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that derives the idea of Tosefes from the fact that the Torah says, in the Parshas Emor, Torah makes reference to fasting for Yom Kippur on the 9th of Tishrei. And the question was then raised, well, why are you fasting on the 9th? Yom Kippur is the 10th. And ultimately it tells us that we have to borrow from the 9th to get to the 10th also. We have to be Mosif Michol HaKodesh. So Rav Zevin notes, he says, yeah, but it's still called the 9th. We don't say that it turns into the 10th when you do that. So a part of that whole derivation is that, yes, you are fasting on the 9th because of the obligation of Tosefes, but it's still the 9th. It doesn't turn into the next day because of that. And so too, when you talk about Tosefes and Shabbos and Yontif, it still retains the status of the previous day. It's just a matter of practice. So this expresses itself in a number of cases. So first of all, if you saw Tosfos in Maseches Ksuvos, so that Tosfos is the second most cited Tosfos in this discussion after Tosfos in Psachim. That Tosfos there comments on the fact that the Gemara makes reference to an idea of somebody marrying off his daughter on Shabbos or Yontif. And that's a problem, halachically. It's actually a bigger problem on Yontif than it is on Shabbos. It's one of those unusual situations where the prohibition is actually more significant on Yontif than it is on Shabbos. Even on Chol HaMoed, it's more significant than on Shabbos, an unusual kind of thing. That to get married on Shabbos is also midrabban. That is a problem of kinyan. But to get married on Yontif sounds like it's an Isser Minat Torah. V'samachta v'chagecha, there's the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. And to bring your own personal simcha into it is going to dilute and compromise that simcha. We call a ma'arvin simcha v'simcha. Seems to be a din Minat Torah. It's the way the Pesachos Bavli gets it from Psukim. So if that's the case, so how could the Gemara talk about getting married on Yontif? It's an Issa Midraisa. You are contradicting the Simchas Yontif by putting your personal Simcha at the same time. So the Gemara has that statement, and Tosfos in Ksubas asks, so how could it be? How could the Gemara entertain this possibility of marrying your child off on Yontif? It's against the din of Eim Arvin Simcha V'Simcha. So Tosfos there has two answers. One answer is that what's relevant to here is that what? That maybe the wedding happened in the time of Tosefes. That it's not actually Yontif. They brought in Yontif early. And during that time, that's when the wedding happened. So apparently, what are we saying? That Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that's a problem stopping us from getting married on Yontif itself. But to get married during the time of Tosefes is apparently not a problem. So what does that tell you about Tosefes? Now, what's the implication of that statement in Tosus? Ari?
It's a piecemeal acceptance of an era of Yom Tov, so maybe it only applies to Malacha, not to the holistic acceptance of the day, the essence of Yom Tov.
So yes, that's what it sounds like, although actually your first sentence, I'm going to put on hold for a little bit, because that's an interesting question, the idea of piecemeal acceptance, that whether that's possible is actually a discussion of itself, which we'll push off for now. But the idea that it's not really accepting the Yontif, apparently, because Yontif should come with Simcha. And apparently what we're saying with that Tosus is that, no, Simcha's Yontif has not begun. Because Yontif itself has not begun. All we're doing is abstaining from Malacha during that time. Which happens to be relevant for the purposes of that Gemara and Ksubas. So it's a whole different discussion. But that's what the Gemara there was focused on. So, yes, you're going to abstain from Malacha during that hour, but the Simcha of Yontif has not yet kicked in. Sam?
If that's the case, what's like the Halacha connected? So that makes it that you can't, like a nether kind of?
Very good question. So that's an excellent question. That won't come to also. That'll probably get to a little bit tomorrow, because that also has major implications. So where nether comes in, if that is indeed the key operating system here, is an important question we're going to look at. But for now, first, just to consider what the result is. So it sounds like from that statement in Tosfos that it is not fully Yontif. It's just a practice of abstaining from Malacha, but the details that are inherent to Yontif, like the mitzvah of Simcha, that has not yet kicked in. That's going to happen once Yontif actually starts. Now, here's just a little bit of a methodology observation. So, there are those who try to figure out how do you resolve the contradiction between that Tosfos saying that it's not fully Yontif and our Tosfos, which says that on a regular Shabbos in Yontif, you can have your Suda early. Apparently saying that it is Yontif, and it is Shabbos under normal circumstances. So I'm not going to focus on that because I don't totally understand why it's a question. Because, first of all, Tosfos can disagree across Starim, for sure. But also, each Tosfos has two answers. So our Tosfos disagrees within itself. And that Tosfos in Ksubas also has a different answer. Because Tosfos there also suggests that maybe the Simcha is really in the meal. And the meal they didn't have on Yontif. So that answer seems to disagree if we assume that whenever we have two answers because we're not confident in the other answer. So within each Tosfos, there's different attitudes. So I don't know how much there is to learn from trying to resolve our Tosfos and Pesachim and Tosfos and Ksubas. But it seems like we have different perspectives here. That in both Tosfos, in there are both possibilities. So our Tosfos has both possibilities. A regular Shabbos, you can be Yotze, it's just an exception for Pesach. Or the other way, that no, even on a regular Shabbos, you can't. And the question Tosfos and Ksubas is dealing with, is there a Simchas Yontif during that time? Yeah, two perspectives contained within that Tosfos. Okay, so far so good. So let's now focus on the most common of the scenarios here. I don't know how many of you were planning on scheduling your weddings for Tosfos Yontif. It's not the most convenient time for your guests anyway. It's not such a common scenario. But a much more common, relevant point is, so what about a typical Friday night? Having your Suuda early and bringing in Shabbos an hour or two, let's say, in the summer before it would otherwise be. So is that a problem? Do you fulfill your Suuda Shabbos during that time? So we saw in our Tosfos, it seems to be two opinions within Tosfos. And this was reiterated in a dispute between the Taz and the Maharshal. On the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, they have the Taz. The Taz quotes the Maharshal. They argued on this very point. And they came at it again and again. And there are at least three battlegrounds for this ongoing debate the Taz has with the Maharshal. And it relates to what I said yesterday, that Tosefta's Yontif applies to every Yontif, with the exception of almost all of them. So we'll see, this is part of where it shows up, that there are quirks within every Yontif that complicate things. But first, in Hilchos Shabbos, so you have this question, on a regular Friday night, can you fulfill the mitzvah of Suuda Shabbos during the time of Tosefta's? So the Taz quotes the Maharshal, says no, it's not really Shabbos yet. So therefore, yes, you have to abstain from Malacha, but Shabbos has not fully begun, or begun at all, and therefore it's not the right time for the Suuda. While the Taz himself disagrees, and the Taz says that no, once you bring in the next day, it is fully the next day. And therefore, it applies across the board. So whatever it is you have accepted upon yourself, that is fully set in, and it's all applicable. So if you brought in Shabbos early, so then, no problem, you can be Yotzei Suuda Shabbos during that time. Now again, in terms of practice, I think this is probably what we've seen most often, that this is generally done, especially in the summertime. So it seems like from that perspective that the view of the Taz, that it's a more ambitious picture of what Tosefta Shabbos does, seems to prevail in terms of practice. But I should point out that to be machmir for the view of the Maharshal is not as hard as it sounds, not as demanding as it sounds, because it wouldn't necessarily mean, let's say you have a father with young children who wants to be machmir for this, but doesn't want to keep his kids up too late. So it's a little easier than it sounds, because it's not like the Seder where you can't even get started. If we're talking about a Friday night in the summer, you could theoretically start earlier. Like Kiddush, we saw that the Gemara says you could do it during the daytime, and we'll talk about separately how that could work. So you can make Kiddush already. So you could start your meal. You could have a nice long meal with a lot of Divrei Torah and Tzmiros. And then if it overlaps into nighttime, and you have a kezias of bread towards the end, after fully dark, so you could satisfy the Maharshal that way also. So it's not as much of a chumrah as it sounds like. It wouldn't be like Pesach night that you'd have to wait until it's fully dark to even get started. You could satisfy it in a personal way without imposing on the family as much as it may sound like. All right.
Didn't we present understanding yesterday that might radicalize the Maharshal, saying that if it's not Zman Pasuda, then it's impossible to begin your Kiddush because it's not time for the digital Zman Pasuda?
Okay, so that's a good. That's a great question. And we have to come back to that whole issue as far as Dalakosos and understand that a little bit more deeply. But just to address it on the surface, it's not totally comparable to the Seder, because we mentioned yesterday that one possibility of why even Kiddush should have to wait, let's say, okay, Matzah's got to wait, but why can't I make Kiddush and gain myself a few minutes and make sure just that Matzah happens after dark? So one approach, happens to also be a Taz, is that it's not going to be Kiddush B'Makom Suda, because even though you're in the same location, but temporally it's disconnected. As far as the dimension of time, you are on the other side of the fence, because if the time is not yet Roy for the Suda, so then Kiddush also can't kick in. But here it's not as absolute as that, because you could have a meal during this time. It's just a question of whether it will fulfill your Suda Shabbos, and especially where we're seeing that there's a lot more room to debate it. So to say that your Kiddush doesn't have anything to attach to is not fully true. While during the Seder, if the whole meal is the matzah, or the meal is defined by the matzah, and that is pushed off until later, so it becomes a much more of a gulf. So you have to, in order for it to really be a problem for Shabbos, you'd have to be combining a lot of positions and concerns. But in any event, so that's how this issue in terms of Shabbos that was debated in Artosus is played out again between the Taz and the Maharshal, and it shows up a number of times in other places as well. So where else does it come up? It comes up also in Hilchos Sukkos. Now when it comes to Hilchos Sukkos, just a word of introduction about that. So as we said, there's a quirk for every single Yontif. So the first days of Sukkos, Tosefes, as far as the meal is concerned, is also problematic, because the Ramah assumes that there is a connection between the Seder and the first night of Sukkos for this purpose as well. Now we know that we have a concept of the Hekesh of Tezvav, Tezvav, the Gzeir Shavah of Tezvav, Tezvav, the idea that Pesach and Sukkos share certain halachic concepts. So just like when it comes to Pesach, so we have a mitzvah of matzah in an obligatory sense only on the first night, and the rest of Pesach, if we want to eat bread, we eat matzah. So we have the same structure on Sukkos, that if we want to eat, we eat in the sukkah, but on the first night, we have to eat in the sukkah. So that's because of this connection, this portal between the two, both on the 15th of their respective months. So the Rambam writes that that's also true for this issue. Right? Just like we find that when it comes to Pesach night, we're going to have to wait till dark to have our meal. So too, first night of Sukkah is the same story. We're going to have to wait until it's fully dark to have our meal then. So that also creates challenges in a different way. It's not as long as the Seder is, and it doesn't have all of the same attention issues that the Seder presents and awakeness issues. But sometimes you have weather issues. Sometimes in the first night of Sukkot, you have impending rain, and you know it could start raining at any minute, and you have to try to chop around, and that could come into conflict with trying to be machmir for everything. It also came up this year, even more than the Seder issue, which you mentioned a little bit yesterday, but one of the issues that was discussed by Schechter and others was the question of, in some places you have communal sukkahs, let's say in the city, and so you don't necessarily have the space for everyone to have their own sukkah and have their meal, and it's common, in, especially in urban areas, to have one big sukkah where everybody comes in together. So this year, people didn't want to be such large groups, understandably. You weren't going to have everyone in the sukkah at the same time. So you had to have shifts. in the sukkah, so that different families could come into the sukkah and be able to have their meal in very constricted time periods. So the question came up, how much to worry about this Ramah, to say, okay, so should we lose some of that time by waiting till it's dark, or should we say, let's do Tosefes and let's give by ourselves some extra time and start Sukkot earlier and let the shift start so you could have people having their meal during the earlier time. So it became practically important also, this question of whether you have to wait till it's fully dark. If that's true for Pesach and if it transfers over to Sukkot, that had extra practical relevance this year because of some of these challenges. Okay, so far so good. Everyone following? So that's as far as the first days of Sukkot. But what about the last days? What about Shemini Atzeres? So here the Taz quotes the Marshal again in Hilchos Shemini Atzeres, that the Marshal said that when it comes to Shemini Atzeres night, you also should not start eating until it's dark. Why not? Because, says the Marshal, if you're going to eat then, you're going to have a problem. What are you going to do? Because on the one hand, you're eating in the sukkah. It's still light outside. Still sukkahs. So you're going to want to recite a bracha on eating in the sukkah like we do on sukkahs. However, if it's Shemini Atzeres, the Gemara says that Shemini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz, so Yisuve Yasfinan, Bruchei Lom Bevarchinan, that we sit in the sukkah, but you don't make a bracha. So what policy are you going to follow? On the one hand, you brought in Shemini Atzeres, you want to follow Shemini Atzeres rules, no bracha in the sukkah. On the other hand, you look outside, it's still light outside, it still seems to be sukkahs, you should make a bracha on the sukkah. So what do? Your head's going to explode. So therefore, says the Mashal, you don't eat then, you wait until it's fully dark. So if that's the case, so that creates an extra difficulty as far as applying Tosefes Shabbos. However, says the Taz, I don't agree. There's no confusion here. Is it Shemini Atzeres? Is it Sukkot? You brought in Shemini Atzeres, that means it's Shemini Atzeres. That once you bring in Tosefes, you have completely redefined the day. And that dictates all the issues, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. So we see it's the same machlokas, right? It is the Taz and the Marshal, the Shitasa, that the Marshal believes that you're not actually bringing in the next day, you're just abstaining from malacha or whatever it is, but it doesn't have the full status of what you've accepted. So you have a problem. Do I look at this like Shemini Atzeres, or do I look at it like Sukkot? How exactly should I handle the bracha issue? While the Taz is saying, no, there's no problem. That Tosefes accomplishes fully a transformation of the day. So you brought in Shemini Atzeres, and Shemini Atzeres, that's the end of the story. Hi.
But the Marshal is saying that we didn't have to bring the day yet, so why is he allowing for a Suda?
We'd be Yotzeh, so if you want to follow a Schumer for a Shabbos, so like we mentioned, it's possible that you could start eating. You wouldn't necessarily be yotze fully. So the eitzah, we said before, to let your family have the whole meal and then at the end you have an extra kazayas. So for Shabbos that would work. But here he's saying for Shemini Atzeres, you'll have a bigger problem because you won't know what to do with the bracha. Now the Gemara says, it's really talking about Neret Yisrael, but the Gemara says that when it rains on Sukkot, it's like a siman klala. It's like God saying that he doesn't want your mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. So sometimes mentioned shul that when it rains on Shemini Atzeres, though, it's a little bit like a siman bracha because it saves us from machlokas, because there's so much machlokas sometimes whether to sit in the sukkah or not. The whole story, not getting into that, but if it's raining there's nothing to fight about. So here also is one more machlokas to Taz and Marshal about the meal. So if it's raining and not in the sukkah anyway, it's not going to apply. So on those days rain saves from machlokas, probably a siman bracha. Hi.
For the Taz,
yes.
Why does this problem run up against the issue of mixing stuff and
simple? So you mean taking the one yantif? Right. So that we don't find in general, that having one yontif on top of another. And there was the whole discussion, we put Simchas Torah, the later development, we put Simchas Torah on Shmini Atzeres. It's interesting, conceptually, how much you worry about that as far as the themes overlapping. But the din of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha to Simcha, we don't seem to find that taking from one to the next is applied. It's interesting, in general, is there a question, it gets into some side issues, are you at all detracting from the previous day? There's like kind of a miut of Sukkot, if you're starting Shmini Atzeres early, so the fact that you're apparently cutting into the Sukkot, should that bother us? We don't find that, even though it's an interesting conceptual question to worry about. It comes up in general also when the question of early Yontif Sheni overall, you know, is that somehow, are you somehow impacting the previous day by starting it early? But here, as far as to bring Yontif of Shemini Atzeres on top of the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, we don't find that that's something that provokes that kind of objection. So there is at least one more iteration of this machlokas. Same players, or at least one of the same players, in at least one other area, at least one other yontif. What is that? Shavuos. And so there is a widespread practice among Klal Yisrael not to start Shavuos early, or not to start the tefillah of Shavuos early. There's different nuances, whether it means you don't daven Ma'ariv early Shavuos night, or you don't make Kiddush early Shavuos night. There are different ways of determining exactly what it is you're doing or not doing. But there is a widespread practice not to do early davening or Kiddush Shavuos night, which impacts on other things. You want to have a program of learning Shavuos night. It's already June by then, so it happens to, if you're not going to start early, so your hours of learning are actually significantly reduced. If you wanted to bring in Shavuos early, you could have a much longer program, like they do in the other side of the world, in South Africa, so it's the other way around. So Shavuos night learning is much longer than it is in America. But so our practice is not to start Shavuos early. So why not? What's wrong with starting Shavuos early? So there are different explanations as to what this is about. The Netziv actually thinks it's something that's relevant specifically to Shavuos, because the Pasuk in Parshas Emor, when talking about Shavuos, writes, the Karasa Ba'etzem Hayom Hazeh Mikra Kodesh, that the Kriyas Kodesh, let's say Kiddush maybe, is the declaration of the Kedusha of Shavuos. The Pasuk says you should do this, if you're reading it this way, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on the day itself. And the Gemara elsewhere understands that the Etzem Hayom means the day without any addition. Like we say that you're Chayiv Kares for eating on Yom Kippur, but not on Tosefes of Yom Kippur. It's not the Etzem Hayom, which was another way that Rav Zevin proved his point that Tosefes doesn't actually extend the day itself. It's just about our behavior. But as far as Shavuos is concerned, so that's what the Netziv suggests, that that's why we don't want to make Kiddush or Daven early. We don't declare the Kedusha before the day itself. But the more common explanation is given by the Magen Avraham and the Taz on the side of the page. They say, what's the issue? Why don't you start Shavuos early? Fascinating concern. What are we worried about? Sfiras HaOmer. Now, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, so the Torah requires Tamimus, it should be perfect, which has all kinds of implications lahalacha. That's why we're so concerned about missing a day of Sfira. It's going to impact our Tamimus, our perfection. And apparently on this end also, that if you're going to start Shavuos early, after 7 faithful weeks of carefully counting Sfiras HaOmer every night, you're going to chop off the last hour and you're not going to have Tamimus. So this, the Magen Avraham and the Taz both bring. So if you think about it, if you understood like the Maharshal, if you believe that all Tosefis means is just that you are abstaining from Malacha for an extra few minutes or an hour or whatever it is before Shabbos actually starts, Does this logic work at all? Does this make sense? Wouldn't seem to, right, Ari? The Taz says it's a problem.
Isn't that like the opposite of Shita? Because part of the Taz should say that, you know, the Sephira is Tamim because it's now no longer the Sephira's mana, now it's mana for Shavua, so you've reached the threshold.
Okay, so that's an interesting way to phrase it, which let's expand on that in a second. But on the surface, it would seem like his problem is specifically because of Hashukah. Because, let's say, to work backwards for the Mashal, it shouldn't be an issue at all. Why do I care? Why does my Sfira Sa'omer care that the last hour I'm not driving my car or I'm not talking on the phone? Sfira is still unimpacted by that. And according to the Mashal, it should be a complete non-issue. But according to the Taz, there's what to talk about. That if my Sfira has to be perfect, and I changed the day right before it was over, I flipped the calendar over to Shavuos, so that's where there's what to worry, that maybe I don't have a complete sphere before Shavuos has begun. And maybe here, just to sharpen it a little more, and maybe that's inherent to how Shavuos is determined. And that's a point some later Achronim observe, because they note that, okay, that's a fascinating lumdus from the Taz and from the Bhagavan Brahma. But isn't this a big halachic problem? Because this idea of not starting Shavuos early, it's not in the Gemara, it's not in the Rishon. It developed later. So if you're going to explain it based on this vort, okay, that's very nice, but we said so far there's a mitzvah min haTorah of Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to most of the Rishonim. So you're going to pass up on an obligation min haTorah as far as Shavuos is concerned, which as far as we know from the Chumash and from the Gemara and from the Rishonim, we have this obligation of Tosefes. And you say, well, because of this Lumdus, we'll just skip it for this Yom Tov. Seems very hard to say. What justifies that? So some explain, Moshe Sternbach has an essay along these lines, others explain as well, that Tosefes would apply differently for Shavuos anyway. Because Shavuos is fundamentally different as far as these purposes are concerned from every other Yom Tov. Why? What's the defining difference? Right. All the other Yom Tovim have dates. So Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei. Okay, so on the 9th of Tishrei we should add on a little bit. Pesach is the 15th of Nisan. Sukkot is the 15th of Tishrei. These other Yom Tovim, we know when they are on the calendar, and we're told, add on a little bit. What date does the Torah give us for Shavuos? Doesn't give us a date. And the only way we know when Shavuos is that it's 7 weeks of Sfira after the second day of Pesach. And before the calendar was set, it could have been three different dates because of the length of the months in between. So we don't have any way to start Shavuos except by finishing Sfira first. So it could be that that's what he's getting at, is that if you have a time when you know Shavuos is supposed to be, we could start talking about adding on to it. But here, Shavuos, by its very nature, only begins after you have 7 weeks of Sfira. So therefore, we need that to finish before we can declare a Shavuos. That's how some explain. Now, as far as addressing the halachic issue here of abandoning this mitzvah of Tosefes, so it is possible, as some suggest, that we could bifurcate the approaches. Right? As we've seen so far, there are at least two halves to the idea of Tosefes. There is the idea of Yom Tov actually beginning early, and there is also the notion of creating a buffer zone by abstaining from halacha so you shouldn't run into any problems. So when it comes to Shavuos, we could split them in half. And we could say that as far as the buffer zone, so that for sure you should do. So to abstain from halacha for some period of time before Shavuos starts, there's nothing stopping us from doing that. Like we said, according to the Mashal, if that was all there was to it, so it wouldn't create any problems for your sphere according to everyone. So that we should do, and there's a good chance that that does fulfill our obligation of Tosefes. But it's just as far as the second possibility that it actually transforms the day into the full status of Yontif. So that, okay, that's more challenging for Shavuos. But that doesn't necessarily stop us from doing what we need to do as far as the halachic procedures are concerned. It just means that as far as actually reciting Ma'ariv, and as far as actually reciting Kiddush, that will wait until it's dark. But abstain from halacha with a buffer zone for Shavuos, that we could do anyway, practically speaking. So there are a few other fascinating implications of this whole discussion, a few other Yom Tovim we haven't taken off the list yet. So God willing, we have a little bit more to continue tomorrow, and then we want to see in particular how this plugs back into the Seder. So we'll pick up with that all tomorrow. But just to quickly recap, what did we say so far today? So we saw that the 2 days in Tosis about whether it really is the next day or not, and whether you can fulfill the Shabbos meal during that time. So this comes up in a few other places. We saw that in Maseches Ksubis, we have apparently 2 days in Tosfos about whether Simchas Yontif kicks in during that time, because the Gemara considers the possibility that you could have a wedding during the time of Tosefis, the way Tosfos is interpreting the Gemara. So that also seems to provoke this question, has Yontif fully started as far as Simcha is concerned? And we saw that the Taz and the Marashal have a 3-field war about this question, that as far as the standard Shabbos meal question, so that was a machlokas. The Marashal said you cannot do it at the time of Tosafos. The Taz says you can, because you have fully won the day over to Shabbos status. And that comes up again in Hilchos Shmini Atzeres. So that as far as the first days of Sukkot, so we have the connection to the Seder, so we assume that first days of Sukkot, we have to wait for our meal. But as far as the last days, when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, the Maharshal said don't have the meal then, because it's going to be a confusion whether it's Sukkot or Shmini Atzeres. And the Taz says, no, it's not a problem. You fully brought in the next day, so it is fully Shmini Atzeres, and everything flows from there. And the third iteration was regarding Shavuos, that the practice in Klal Yisrael very often to wait until dark to daven or make Kiddush Shavuos night. So how do we explain that? So the Netziv says it's because of the Pasuk, but the Magen Avraham and the Taz say that it's because we're going to compromise our Sfiras HaOmer by starting Shavuos early. So according to the Marshal, this would not have been an issue for sure. Just to abstain from Malacha has no impact on your Sfira. But if you believe that you actually are flipping the day, that's where there's a little more to talk about it possibly actually impacting what the sphere is. Now we discussed, well, okay, but this is an idea that comes up later in the Achronim. How do we have the right to disregard what seems to be a mitzvah min HaTorah because of this Lumdisha understanding? So one suggestion is Shavuos is inherently different anyway. There's no date. It only kicks in after you have a full period of Sfira. So maybe that's why it's going to have that difference. Or also, it's not as much of a halachic problem as it seems, because we can still have the buffer zone. We still have the Maharshal's view of Tosefos for Shavuos, that as far as our behavior can still apply. But just, we should be machmir for the other possibility also. And you abstained from Malacha earlier, but as far as actually reciting Kiddush or Ma'ariv, so that we wait for dark in order to address that aspect. It's not necessarily as much of a halachic problem as it may otherwise seem. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow, so you still have that list to work with, so I'll give you the more extended list, and tomorrow we will fill in some of the other applications and bring it back into our daf. Wish everyone a safe and healthy day. Stay warm with the snow, don't slip. And God willing, I will see you soon.